How many of you like surprises? One person, two. Okay, two and a half, three. Okay. Well, I am one of those who really doesn't like surprises. And my wife could probably tell you that.
Surprise!
and I think that's probably true for most of us. But sometimes when you're anticipating something, you're never quite ready for it. Now, I want to tell a little story about Jack. I always like telling stories about Jack when he's here. Jack is here back from Virginia with Katie. And Katie had to come a little early to have some dental work done. And I know you're glad that I just shared with everybody about your dental work. And Jack, he drove down. So Katie flew, Jack drove. And it's about a 17-hour drive. And he did it all in one go. I think he stopped maybe one time to go to the restroom. And so we knew that he was coming. Jenny had been getting things ready, baking all the things that he likes to eat, getting things ready that Katie loves. And so she's been working pretty much all week, just anticipating this time. As we got the estimated time of arrival for Jack, it was going to be in the wee hours of, I guess that was Friday morning. And so Jenny and I were both tired and just kind of collapsed in a heap, knowing that, you know, Jack was on his way. He was out there somewhere and he would be showing up. And so we both dozed off. And the next thing I knew, I heard this blood-curdling scream. And it was because Jack had walked in and caught us all off guard, and especially his mother. And someone who does not like surprises at all would be his mother. And I learned that early in the marriage. I earned it midway through the marriage. I'm still learning that in my marriage. But she was so excited, but it just took her by surprise. She had been looking forward to him walking in the door. But she was not quite ready for that moment when he walked in. And it was such a wonderful surprise for us. Well, most of us don't like surprises. Think about it. You get that bill, especially this time of year. It's a bill that you didn't realize that you were getting. Maybe it was from a doctor, or maybe it's from the U.S. government, or maybe it is from someone else, and it's a bill that you had totally forgot that you were going to need to pay. Or maybe it's a bad tooth or something, and you don't like the surprise of that. You're kind of going about doing your plans and doing your own thing, and all of a sudden you get this sore tooth, and it has to come out. No one likes that surprise. Also, a baby. Surprise, you're having a baby, you hear. See, some of y'all are still kind of reacting to that in a certain way. Most of us do not like surprises, even though we may like what the end result is. Well, I think with Mary, we come to a place here in this gospel text. And this morning we looked at a little bit different text. And today we kind of look more closely at what's going on with Mary. And we look at what's going on with the shepherds as they are out there in the nighttime. And we also have heard from Isaiah and the surprise and the anticipation that was going on in Israel long before Jesus came into the world. And so even though for hundreds and hundreds of years, God's people were continuing to look for this Messiah that would come, they continued to look for someone who would come and save them from their oppression, who would take away all of the evil people who were doing evil things to them. They still continued to look. They continued to hope and to wait with anticipation and to look for peace and to even find a little joy in the midst of that, as Isaiah would come to them and say words like we heard today. And John the Baptist picked up on that as well, as he was out there in the wilderness and calling people to come and to be baptized in the Jordan River. He understood that he was the one Isaiah had been talking about. He was the forerunner for the Messiah. And when Jesus comes along, he realizes that he must what? Decrease so that Jesus would increase. He knew his job was done. And it was time for the Messiah to fully arrive into the world. And so anticipation is never much fun. As we've talked about last several weeks, waiting is not much fun. And sometimes we are even surprised by what it is that we are waiting for. Think about those shepherds. I mean, they are out there tending their flock by night. They're just kind of, they're doing their everyday work. I mean, you would make sure the sheep were getting to grass so that they could eat the grass. You were trying to make sure that a wolf wasn't going to come in and eat the sheep. You were watching those stray sheep. And I know that all of you know about those stray sheep because sometimes you are the stray sheep, right? You start to wander off and go a different direction and God calls you back. I know that's happened in my life before. The shepherds were looking for those kinds of sheep because the shepherd, either he or she, would know that they were getting into an area of danger. They were starting to get too far away from the other sheep. And so this is a busy job. And they are watching and waiting and anticipating. In the midst of all of that, this angel appears and begins to interact with them and begins to tell them about this good news, not just for a few people, not just for the shepherds, but for all people, that something amazing was about to happen. In fact, it was happening right there in their midst. And then, of course, Mary and Joseph, as they come to understand, as this morning, she was still with child. Tonight, she has a child. Jesus is born into the world. And they are far away from home, right? They have been traveling around because of this census, and they are trying to get where they need to go. In the midst of all of that, while they're doing all of this, she has Jesus. And we understand that this took place out in a manger. Not in the place that she probably would have preferred to have this baby. Not out in a barn somewhere. There's an interesting graphic that's going around. As you can see here, this would be modern day Bethlehem.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And you can see, and I talked a little bit about this morning, but you see Joseph and Mary, and you see Jesus, and you think, what a depressing scene. And it really wasn't that much better back then. They didn't have bombs and buildings falling down on them. But their oppression and the hatred that was aimed toward them as a people was certainly just as significant. There's another one. This is actually there pretty close to where Jesus was born. This is close to the Nativity Church there. And it's closed. Nobody can get there. Nobody wants to go there, right? Yeah. I mean, in that unsafe environment where a bomb could go off at any time, where you could be shot either by the Israelis or you could be shot by the Palestinians or by Hamas, rather. It's a dangerous place to be. And somebody put a baby Jesus there. And you can see that scene. And so for them, in the midst of all of that was going on, this surprise happened. Jesus, the Savior of the world, was born into that environment, born into those circumstances. The incarnation of God Himself. God takes on human flesh in the form of a baby. In the midst of dirtiness, in the midst of the stench of a barn, in the rubble of the hay, God is there in human flesh. As we think about that, we think of surprise. We think of amazement that happens with the incarnation of Christ. And I wonder today, when was the last time you were really surprised by Jesus? And will you, as you go through this Christmas season, and it's not just tomorrow, it is a season of Christmas, Christmastide, and the Sundays after Christmas, as we get closer to the Epiphany, Will you allow yourself to be surprised by this Jesus? How amazing is it that Jesus comes into our lives? I always love asking people, like, when did you first meet Jesus? And it kind of takes people back, you know, for a moment. What do you mean, when I met Jesus? Well, hopefully you met Jesus somewhere. I don't remember when I did. I was in church from as soon as I could go into the nursery at church. I was there. And somewhere along the way, throughout all of the words from Sunday school teachers and the preacher and my parents and others, I met Jesus. And there are different times in my life, more particular times, when I really remember encountering this Jesus and just how amazing it is. Jesus comes to us in our ordinariness, our mundane existence, in our poverty, in our sickness. I was at the hospital this afternoon with Carol White and Betty Jane Kelly and Linda Williams, and reminding them that even in the hospital room, even in the midst of pain and uncertainty, that Jesus is there. Jesus is in that hospital room. Jesus is with us when we're lonely, when we're hurting. God comes to us up close and personal. And when all this takes place, when we really see this Jesus in flesh, things in our lives come together, don't they? If you really want the pieces of your life to come together, allow Jesus to put them together. Get closer to this Jesus. Discover more of what this is all about. And this is what we do when we come to our time of our sacrament, receiving the sacrament. This is really the ongoing incarnation of Christ. Whenever we come to the altar and we receive the bread and the cup, we are receiving the incarnation of God. It continues, and it continues within us. And as we go from this place, we share that incarnation. Wherever it is that we go, we experience the love and the joy of Christ. I want to close with this quote from Frederick Buechner, because he always seems to say it the best. The incarnation is a kind of vast joke whereby the creator of the ends of the earth comes among us in diapers. Until we too have taken the idea of the God-man seriously enough to be scandalized by it, we have not taken it as seriously as it demands to be taken. And even tonight, we are reminded by a crying baby of the messiness of life. May we take it seriously as we continue on in the spirit of Christmas. Amen.
Amen.